So I wasn't going to share this before, but just something hit me in worship as I was thinking about communion tonight. You know, some of you may really fear communion. Like, talks about whoever drinks unworthily. I want you to think of it a different way tonight. You know, God talks about us being the bride of Christ. I want you to think of it as a date night tonight. You know, in your relationship with your spouse or maybe a girlfriend, there's just times where you need to take time out to talk. And, you know, I've had some hard dates in my life that turned out really good. I've also had just some delicious dates that were just good the entire way through. But the point is we communicated with each other. And I want you to come tonight with that in mind. We do communion so we remember. We remember what the relationship is all about. And I want you to come tonight as a date night. Just want to welcome everybody here again today. My message today is shelter in the storm. And this message is going 1,000 different directions in the past 2 weeks as I've been thinking about it. So hopefully I can bring it together for you all today. The idea for my message started last Wednesday. I had the incredible privilege to take my oldest son on a trip west, a 38-hour drive to Oregon, and spent 8 days in the wilderness. And our shelter was the back of my pickup. And being in close quarters with my son at night, and through some rainstorms and stuff like that, it was just a really good experience for me personally as a father. Last Wednesday, we were setting up for evening elk hunt, and I'm not going to bore you with a hunting story. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and God decided that it was time to water a half-acre meadow, and it was just that area. But there was a cloud above us, and I've never seen anything quite like it. It was light the whole way around us. I could see like it was clearing off the whole way around. But right over this meadow where we were setting up to hunt that evening, it started to rain. And it was just an annoying mist at first, and just kept raining. We had backpacks with dry clothes in, so we weren't really that concerned about it. We were going to stick it out. And we saw it was clearing off, so it wasn't a big deal. And as the afternoon progressed and it got to be 4:45, it just started to dump. I mean, just, it was a cloudburst. Thunder started to roll in the distance, and it was just a cloudburst. And you know, we're a solid half a mile away from the trailhead, and probably closer to a mile. And I'm standing, I got behind a pine tree about that big behind. I don't know which was front and which was back after a while. But I was standing against it, and it provided shelter for a little bit. I said it was raining hard at 4:45. I can't tell you how hard it was raining about 5 o'clock. And to compound matters, it started to hail. And the ground actually, it was little, not real big size hail, but the ground started to turn white. And there was this loud clap of thunder. And I look at Evan and I said, "We got to get out of here now." And we started hiking out to the truck, and we hadn't gone but 500 yards. And remember I told you it was light all around us? It actually stopped raining about 500 yards back to the truck. But by this time, we are absolutely drenched, soaked. I said, "Evan, we got two options. We can stay in the back of that truck." I don't know if you ever tried to dry out wet clothes in the back of a truck. And I said, "I don't know if I'm going to be ready to hunt in the morning." I said, the second option is we can drive an hour to town and get a motel. That evening as we went, as we were driving to town, we drove to town, we got a motel, two queen beds. That was nice. And a shower, something I hadn't done for 7 days. I took a shower that evening and the next morning. Shelter. It was incredible how good shelter felt. Now, no knocks against the back of my truck. It was actually dry in the back of my truck. It just was a lot smaller shelter than I was looking, than I'm typically used to. So that's where this message is coming from this morning. Shelter in a storm. I'm going to look at one passage today, Psalm 61. I'm not planning to draw in other passages. I want to look at this real closely. I want to give you three illustrations, and I want to close on the same points that I just talked about. So Psalm 61, I'm just going to pause for a word of prayer. I know this is going to land on some of you very differently than others, because some of you, your shelter right now is much smaller than some other people in the room. But let's just pray. Psalm 61. Lord, I just pray as we open up this scripture that you would just help us to find your shelter. Lord, you promised it. It's something we seek after. But today I want to feel that shelter. And Lord, I don't know what you have in this passage of scripture, Psalm 61, for each different person that's here, but I pray that it would land on person in a very real way today. I pray this in your name. Amen. So I'm going to read this passage and we're going to look at it. It's up on the screen behind me. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says this, "Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. I will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." So let's look at this psalm. So this psalm is written by David, as we know. Now, David had some moments in his life where it was just wow, and he could just praise God with his whole heart. Well, let me tell you, David had some other points in his life that weren't quite so wow. He had some really tough times. And one of those tough times, I'm not sure exactly when the psalm was written, but it could have been written during the time that Saul was chasing him for a very long time, trying to kill him. The poor elk that I was hunting, I was pursuing them. But can you imagine having those tables flipped and you're being pursued by somebody and trying to find shelter each night? Can you imagine the stress that David was under trying to find shelter each night? You know, I had a cook stove. All I had to do was put a lighter to it, and I had fire. But David, he had to be concerned about where his next meal was coming from, because if he started a campfire, he may be found because of the light that's shining in the dark. This was a really, really difficult time in David's life. So the first word I'm going to pick out 10 words from this passage, and we're just going to have our study surround these 10 words. The first word is hear. And I looked at what hear means. It's actually to be aware of, to know the existence of God. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes I'm like, God, do you even know I exist? Do you hear me when I cry? Next word is attend. This isn't a word we use regularly, but it simply means to deal with. Lord, I just want you to deal with this. Because to be quite honest with you, I'm not dealing with it very well. You ever had that reaction? So elk hunting, sorry, I wasn't going to go there this many times this morning. Elk hunting is supposed to be fun, right? That's why we go. Well, I got to a point about 7 days into the hunt, and I had climbed 1,000 feet up, and I've hiked my 3 miles or 6 miles or 8 miles that day. And I got to a point, and we endured 4 days of rain too. I got to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I can get out there again tomorrow. But my son talked me through it, and we were good. But I got to the point where I hit a place where it was just really hard. And I'm like, what does the word attend? How does that relate to that? I was not handling it very well. I would have been okay to get in my truck and start driving home that day. I got over it. The last 2 days we spent there were some of the most beautiful scenery that I've ever seen in my life. Attend. Lord, you got to deal with this because I can't. So then he goes on and he says, when my heart is overwhelmed. I want to look at that word overwhelmed. I don't know if you've felt completely overwhelmed. Like you're defeated. You're completely overwhelmed. Turns out I had an example of that yesterday. So I got this brilliant idea, since I was hunting out west and doing a lot of hiking, that I could run in a 5K. Something I'd never done before. And you know what? Beth, you'll have to forgive me for this, because I know it's just a 5K, and I know you run a lot more than that. But you will understand what I'm trying to say about hitting a wall. Or completely defeated. The first half of the race, a mile and a half, I thought I did pretty good for a 49-year-old and holding person. And I ran the whole time. I got to the drink station at a mile and a half, halfway through the race. I grabbed a cup of water, and I tried to drink it, and I sort of choked on it, and I started walking. And I'm drinking my water. We're good. I'm going to drink this cup of water. My goal was not to walk. I'm going to drink this cup of water. And when I get started again, I'm not going to stop. So I walked for about 50 yards, drank my water, threw the cup in the trash can, and I started running again. As you turn on from Country Lane or Buck Hill Road onto Vintage Road, there's a nice little incline. And I'm jogging, and I see the person in front of me, and I said, just go ahead and catch up. So I'm running, and I get halfway up that rise, and I hit a wall. And every part of my body is telling me, okay, Gung, you did good. You can quit now. And I don't know if that's a thing for runners that are in great shape or not. I've heard in marathons, even the best people that are in the people that are in shape the best, even they struggle with hitting the wall sometimes when they're running. And I'm halfway up this hill. I said, I can't go anymore. So I started walking again. It wasn't a fast walk. I was just trying to preserve me having a heart attack or dying of lack of oxygen. So I get to the top of the hill, And then there's a downgrade, and I started jogging again. I said, okay, now you got it. You can get there. Coming up past Calvary Monument on Vintage Road, there's a huge hill. And I got about maybe a tenth of the way up, and that wasn't working either. So I started walking again. And I got to the top of the hill, and now it was flat. And I finished the race. But there was a time in that race when I was turned on the Vintage Road the first time, I was defeated. My legs were done. I don't know if you've ever felt that in life. Because this is just an illustration. I mean, a 5K, it's sort of real life, but it's not really real life. I don't know if you ever had a point where you were just done. But you know what? You could say you were done, but everything else kept moving around you. You know, life still kept going. Next word I want to focus on is shelter. For you have been a shelter for me. A shelter means to protect from bad weather, especially bad weather, and it shields you from harmful things. Just another story from my trip out west. So after this monumental rainstorm, hailstorm that went through, we got back into service, and I looked at my phone and said, clear the next 3 days. I'm like, great. Well, the next day, about 10:30, it started to rain. I'm like, what is going on? And I looked at Evan and I said, I'm not getting wet. I said, I'm out of here. So we hiked back to the truck. I took my wet clothes off. I climbed in the back of the truck and I went to sleep. And I was listening to the rain on the top of my truck and I went, man, that's not a bad sound. 3 hours later, I woke up and it stopped raining. That was a glorious thing, that shelter that day. It was small, but it was shelter. And I really appreciated the shelter that day. Next word is strong tower. Strong tower. I couldn't find a definition of the two together, but a tower is something that's above everything else. It's above the fray. You know, sometimes we just want to say, Lord, I am so low right now. You just need to get me up out of this. How can I even serve you right now? I'm so low. You just got to pull me up. And another thing, Lord, you got to make this tower strong because I can't afford to fall back down where I was before. Strong tower. The next word is abide. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. Abide just simply means to live and to dwell. I mentioned how hard it was when it was raining on my hunt. And I found myself saying, I'm just sick of dealing with this. I'm sick of living in this. Maybe you can identify with that in your own life. The next phrase he uses is shelter of your wings. And what this means, I don't know if we don't live in a farming community necessarily anymore, but when a chick is in danger, it will come under the wings of its mother and she'll puff herself out, and then you might see chicks sticking their head out from under the wings. I don't know if you've ever felt a place where you felt that safe just being surrounded by someone. I may have shared this illustration before, but when I was a child, I couldn't have been more than 8. My good friend Larry Ressler, who you guys know passed away 2 years ago, we were camping with his family. And Larry's dad is one of the biggest men that I know of. And I'm guessing he weighed a solid 400 pounds. But just a great person, just a lot of fun to be around. And I remember we were hiking down at Seven Crossings down in Haltwood, and this major storm came up, and the rain is just pelting down. And we're on the back of the pickup trying to get from there up to the Pinnacle. And Sylvan said to a bunch of us young kids, "Here, get under me." And I vividly remember him in the back of the truck on his hands and knees, and there's about three or four kids just jamming underneath him, trying to find a little shelter. So when I see this thing of a chicken, a mother hen, I sort of get that in my mind. But a mother hen can do a much better job than that. It protects it from weather, from danger. Then he talks about, "You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." A heritage is a special or an individual possession. It's an allotted portion. You know, again, Mom and Dad, you have given me an incredible heritage. We've been given an incredible heritage. Sometimes we talk about Mennonite and, you know, you don't experience the Spirit of God and this and that. There's many Mennonites in our heritage that have experienced the Spirit of God and power beyond belief in our heritage. Then he talks about mercy. Oh, prepare mercy and truth. We're going to focus on those two words. Mercy is just compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. You know, mercy is only shown when something else is deserved. That's what mercy is. I've experienced mercy in my life that I will be forever grateful for. Mercy from God and mercy from individuals. And then he talks about truth. Lord, I want everybody in this room, and I'm praying this as I say it, I just want everybody to know the truth of who you are. The last thing he talks about in this passage is, so I will sing praise to your name forever. So this doesn't make any sense to me, does it? Here's David. He's struggling. He's questioning God. He's just crying out for shelter in the midst of his storm. But yet what does he do? He really does what we're each called to do. That's why God created us, is to praise his name. I mentioned that date night tonight. It's really what he's calling us to do. That's why we're coming, to remind us of our relationship with him. And we praise him for that. So I want to give you three illustrations. So on our trip, we listened to a bunch of books on that 38-hour trip to Oregon. It's a great way to spend 38 hours, actually, listening to books. And we came across a story about Andre and Magna Trachme. Now, it's a French name, so it's not a real familiar name. But they were part of the Anabaptist movement that came from Switzerland to France. And the story is set in World War II era. They had four children, Pastor Andre Trachme and Reverend Thies founded a college in Le Chambon. Forgive my French, I don't talk French very well. Its initial purpose, actually I don't speak French at all, sorry. Its initial purpose was to prepare local country youngsters to enter the university. When the refugees came in World War II, soon after Germany invaded France, it also took in many Jewish young people wishing to continue their secondary education. When France fell to Nazi Germany, the mission to resist the Nazis became increasingly important. Andre and Magda became very involved in a wide network organizing the rescue of Jews fleeing the deportation efforts of the final solution that Nazi Germany had for the Jews. Trachme and other ministers in the area served their parishes, encouraging their congregations to shelter the people of the Bible or the Jews, and for their cities to be a city of refuge. Trachme was a catalyst whose efforts led to Les Chambons and the surrounding villages becoming a unique haven in Nazi-occupied France. Trachme and his church members helped their town develop ways of resisting the dominant force they face. And the weird part about this story is the authorities in France knew what was going on. But every time they came to try to catch them in the act, there was incredible circumstances surrounding the deliverance of their organization. It's said that they literally helped about 3,500 Jewish people come through their doors, and they helped them to Switzerland so that they can be saved. 3,500 people. Andre was arrested in 1943 and after he refused to leave the Jews that were arrested. He said, if you're arresting them, you're arresting me as well. He went to prison for 4 weeks. And the French authorities there who were working for the Germans said, we're giving you a release. We just need you to do one thing. We just need you to sign a paper saying that you're not going to do this again. And he said, I can't do that. That's against my conscience. They still released him. And for the next 2 years, he continued to help Jews leave France to Switzerland. Shelter. It's an incredible story of how God used a person like Andre Trachme. More recently, in May of 2006, Catherine Martin, 32 years old, a tornado ripped through the small town of Otwell, Indiana. And she saw it on the news, and I kept thinking, those poor people, somebody's got to help them, she says. But she actually knew firsthand what they were going through. 6 months earlier, in the middle of the night, on November 6, 2005, a tornado had struck her town, taking the lives of her 2-year-old son, CJ, her mother-in-law, and her grandmother-in-law. The three had been having a sleepover at her grandmother-in-law's mobile home. Catherine, her 3 children, and her husband survived. It was the most terrible experience of my life. That pain will never go away. And it broke my heart to think about what those other families were going through in Otwell, especially the children. So Catherine loaded her car with juice boxes, snacks, toys, and drove to Otwell. She dropped off the items with the Red Cross, and as she was leaving, she saw a couple sorting through the wreckage of their home while their children watched. Catherine had a few toys left, so she stopped and offered to play with the kids for a while. The parents were so grateful that I did that for their children. On the drive back to Evansville, Catherine came up with an idea to help more kids. She corralled family, friends, neighbors, and spent the next few months organizing homegrown fundraisers, carnivals, car washes, walks, runs. Finally, in 2007, she unveiled CJ's bus, a 35-foot school bus turned mobile playroom, stocked with bins of video games, DVDs, toys, crafts, books, and other relief supplies. To Catherine and her team of 39 volunteers, some of them from fellow tornado victims, it's just keeping it normal for the kids. So far, CJ's bus has traveled to 3 states affected by tornadoes or floods, cheering up more than 700 children ages 3 to 13. And I want you to catch the next part of this paragraph. Exhausting as it is running the bus, in addition to working full-time as a township trustee, it's what Catherine feels she was meant to do. On our third day in Earl, Arkansas, after a tornado there, a little boy asked where I live. When I told him Indiana, he couldn't believe I'd come all that way to help his family. Honestly, she said, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. The thing that catches me about that story, there's a young mother, has 3 children, one that has died. And you think, wouldn't she be too busy to do something like this? I guess it's sort of where our priorities are. So last Saturday on my way home, I got a call from Cordell. It was my third illustration. And my neighbor's garage, about 50 yards from my house, is just engulfed in flames. And it ruined the he lives in a mobile home. It ruined the side of his mobile home, burned through the wall of his bedroom, of his kitchen. And I got home and I went over one evening this week and I asked how I can help. He said, oh, I got it. He said, I'll just take my time, throw a little bit here, a little bit there. I said, did you have insurance at all? He said, I had $5,000 of renter's insurance. He said, I added up what I lost. It's probably over $20,000. He said, I'll never recover from this. He's probably 65, disabled. What's God calling us to shelter? So my conclusion isn't short and tidy, but I want you to think about what our response is as believers. What is our duty to help shelter? There's a lot of people in this country that need shelter. Some of our cities are just burgeoning right now with homelessness. You know, since we're made in the image of God, and God is shelter, isn't that what he demands of us? You heard the word demand. So the first word I picked out was hear. Do we even hear? Are we even listening for the needs around us? Or are we just really busy doing what we're doing? Attend. Are we quick to action? And do we persist in attending to people's needs? I think it was 3 weeks ago, Carla, you mentioned speaking about the Bahamas and your heart went out to the people there. This morning we had an offering and I think it's incredible. It's awesome. There's one thing that I really appreciate about our heritage. And it doesn't just happen. It's how we attend to a need. But if you don't do it, if you don't attend to it, it doesn't happen. So I talked about being overwhelmed. Do we come alongside of those that are overwhelmed? And I will say this. I'm not just talking about physical building shelter. I'm talking about people that have just been wrecked in our communities and church. How much of a shelter, how much of a buffer are we being for those people? Strong tower. I want our church to be a strong tower for the people around us. I want them to be able to get above the flood, the mire, the wreckage. And I want them to ride a 5-star elevator to the top of the strong tower so they can just find a little rest. Abide. When I think of the story of Catherine Martin and the way that it became her life, she was abiding in what she did. She didn't, I guarantee you, she didn't have time. I guarantee you that. But God pressed it on her mind and her heart. And you know, God's impressed a lot of things on my mind and heart already, and I did nothing. Make sure when God impresses on your mind and heart, you abide in that and you make it your mission. Shelter of your wings. We need some more people. I'm calling you guys. We need more people in this church to be the mother hen. And that gets a bad connotation sometimes. But let's go with the good part of it. You provide shelter for those in desperate need. Maria, I just caught your eye there for a little bit. I want you to be a shelter. It may be somebody on your team. In fact, I'm pretty sure it will be. But there's people that you're going to be ministering to. I need you to be a shelter for them. A mother hen, in a good sense of the word. Heritage. I mentioned Our Heritage. And organizations like MCC and Christian Aid. And you know, I'm sure you heard some stories where there's some people in those organizations maybe have messed up. But one thing they've gotten right is their ability to help shelter in time of need. I'd love to send a team from church again. I've said that for a little while now. I'd love to send a team with some of these disasters that have happened recently in our country and abroad. Mercy. I want you to show mercy even when people don't deserve it. So when I ask my neighbor about his needs, his body is wrecked by a lifestyle that I wouldn't condone. Does that diminish his need of shelter? No. I was thinking about the times that I've spent money for no other purpose than for my entertainment. Isn't that just giving money and blowing it? So if I just blow money on this person, is that wrong? I'm going to say not. The truth of the matter is this. Here is the truth. The Bible talks in, who is your neighbor? Love your neighbor as yourself. The last word I talked about this morning is praise. When we glorify Him with our action of shelter, and I'm talking emotional shelter, I'm talking physical shelter, I'm talking shelter in a time of need. When we actually do that, that becomes an act of worship. And we bring the glory back to God. God is our shelter. But we're also called to mirror Him in this idea of shelter. What's our call as a church? And I want you to look deep this week as you think of this word shelter. And what is your responsibility to do, even though you don't think you have time? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for shelter. I've needed it so much in my life already. And there's been times where it's been so hard. But I thank you for just putting people around me when I needed them the most. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your peace, for your love, for your truth. And may we each find it as we look and search for areas we can be a shelter to others. Pray this in your name. Amen.